WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And if you happen to be on Twitch and you have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It really is that simple. If you also want to follow the channel, you can do it there as well. Or you can just hang out and chat. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Or listen on the archive, too, because we love our archive listeners. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Are they really called archives still in 2021?
I have no idea.
Isn't it a podcast now?
I mean, technically, for Twitch, it's a VOD, but I don't know what we would call it on the websites.
Podcast. Because it's available on... Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show.
You are such a whore.
I set you up for that one so easy.
I'm sorry. I'm not the professional shill on this network.
No, I mean to lead me into the show. I sort of like led you into the direction where we needed to go. I produced that.
You produced that. So as the producer, you actually did something for a change?
Hey. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Word. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive, and interact with us live tonight. And Double Shane, we're going to address him here in a moment.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, because we need to discuss that. That's actually one of the major stories. We're probably going to leave with that. We've got news, notes, NXT, Tweet of the Week, all your favorites. We're actually also going to be discussing the other kind of big news that's been breaking, and it's not wrestling related, it's actually gaming related. We're going to kind of go into the Activision Blizzard story a little bit. We're going to talk about that and kind of what the implications of that are, and really how that could impact the rest of not only the gaming industry, but as well as the tech industry, and really every company as a whole, because it's pretty insane what's happening with it. So I really want to just get into it and talk about it.
Lindsay has opinions and she's going to give them to you tonight.
Buckle up, chat. So let's get right into the news. Brought to our friends over at MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. And I kind of want to start with like the biggest story. It broke today. incidentally, because of Nick Gage. So that may impact him getting signed. I don't know. But basically, what happened last night on Dynamite is that they did a death match.
It was a no rules match.
Death match. With between Chris Jericho and Nick Gage, where it was the second labor of Jericho. And because of the popularity, thank you to Sammy Callahan for this, pizza cutters broke out in this match. Which, number one, I'm just going to say this. The pizza cutter is not strong enough to cut human flesh. It can barely cut a pizza. If you're gonna use a pizza cutter, get the professional, like, blade guillotine ones that they use that you can, like, rock back and forth. It's like an actual, like, sharp object. As opposed to the little rolly ones, because the little rolly ones are not enough to cut, like, anything, really.
I was gonna say, you were, like, talking about an actual guillotine at some point? Jesus, I didn't think we were going that far with it.
Well, I mean, it's dangerous, right? Get a potato peeler. You know what? No. Go get one of the little vegetable peelers from IKEA. Those things are sharp as shit. They will take skin off. I know from experience, because I've done it several times. But anyway, that's not the point. So, Sammy Callahan on Impact broke out a pizza cutter. It's become hugely popular. It's viral. And, so, last night...
And it's been a Nick Gage trademark for a while, too.
And it's been a Nick Gage trademark for a while, that's true. But anyway, so the pizza cutter came out last night. Why is this a problem? Why is this a story? Well, AEW went to commercial during the match, and they did a picture-in-picture. And while they were using the pizza cutter in the match, a Domino's commercial played in tandem in picture-in-picture as they're using the pizza cutter.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. And at this point, everyone went, oh my god, this is brilliant marketing! Continue.
It's not. That's my day job. It's not. And I'm gonna tell you why. So, Domino's, being the family-friendly company that they are, being in the process of trying to reinvent themselves as a mega family-friendly company, and really just trying to survive right now, like Pizza Hut and Domino's, and I think Papa John's to an extent, they're all sort of like suffering, and their business is down, they're having a hard time with it, because, you know, basically I think they're kind of getting undercut by like Uber Eats and DoorDash and some of the other ones, because there's so many other food delivery options now that really, you know, ordering a pizza, it's like, well, you could order from your favorite pizza place that maybe doesn't do delivery, but you can get it through Postmates, DoorDash, Uber Eats, whatever, and you can get it in a reasonable amount of time versus having to order like your Papa John's or Domino's or Pizza Hut. So anyway, somebody at Domino's saw what happened. Phone calls were made within the company. Somebody was not happy about what they saw. Basically, their commercial with their brand is running in tandem with a bloody death match on TNT. That's not what they signed up for. That's not what they want their stuff associated with. So they made a call to Turner, and they're basically like, pull the advertising. Pull the advertising off AEW. We don't want it on there. We don't want to be associated with that. That's not what we agreed to. And so that's really kind of the big story there. It's still in question whether they're going to pull the entire advertising budget from Turner. I don't think they will. I'm sure Turner will and Warner will like smooth it out with them, because that's a major account for them. But to everybody who's out there that's like, oh, this is a conspiracy theory because Domino's is in bed with DraftKings and DraftKings is in bed with WWE, so WWE made the phone call to Domino's. No, that is not what happened.
No.
That is somebody of the millions of of the thousands of employees that Domino's has, somebody at corporate saw it. Whether it was a VP, whether it was a director, whether it was a lower level employee, somebody saw it, and word shot up the chain to whoever handles the advertising, like basically for Domino's, whoever has that account with Turner. Word got to them, and they were told, this is not what we represent. Pull it. Pull it right now. That's what happened. I've seen it happen a bunch. Because brands, especially when you're in the middle of rebranding and you're in the middle of trying to like reimagine yourself, that's what happened last night is the very last thing you need.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see what happens. I don't see Domino's pulling fully off of Warner Media altogether, but it's a huge kind of impact to AEW, and I think it sends a very strong message. regarding AEW
mm-hmm.
and sponsors. And this has kind of always been at least my concern with the company as a whole, especially with the direction that they take and the fact that it is more edgy. And there's nothing wrong that with it being more edgy, but what happens is that sponsors, especially ones that are trying to be universal, family friendly, all those things, they don't necessarily want their products associated with it. So you're going to lose those dollars. That was what WWE ran into several years ago. That was one of the reasons why we saw the shift to PG. And that's why we've seen them completely reimagine themselves as the good, wholesome, charitable company, where they just did a complete brand reverse. And now they're working with national level advertisers like Snickers, Sonic, the list goes on and on and on and on. Progressive, like it's sponsored by, like they're sponsored by Progressive. And because WWE looked at the business and they said, okay, well, TV deals are great, ticket sales are great, pay-per-view sales are great, but we need marketing dollars. We need those cross promotions. We need to basically stay relevant.
So, can I cut you really quick? Turner's big sponsor besides Domino's is State Farm.
Yep.
Just wanted to throw that out there. State Farm is one of the biggest advertisers across all of its sporting programming. So, and Dynamite is considered in the sports division.
And that's the other side of this is Dynamite could get pulled out of the sports catalog. AEW could get pulled out of the sports catalog, which would be absolutely crippling for them. Because I think one of the reasons why they're kind of pulling in money is they're pulling in money from the advertising. And if you pull those bigger name sponsors off, if you pull specific commercials off, or you take them out of a specific catalog or section for the advertising, which includes OTT and traditional TV commercials, they're going to lose that revenue.
So what boggles me is that the start of the show, they had a sponsorship deal with Space Jam, a kids movie, and now they're at the end of the show with a death match where you now have controversy. It's like, you may want to rethink your strategy a little bit. That's just me. Which is why people like Nick Gage, who've been around the business forever, probably was a one-off for AEW, just especially with the backlash that is coming from the incident. And I'm gonna say this right now. Tony Khan, you better check your Young Bucks. They better not mock this on their YouTube show.
Yeah, that would be stupid. That would be really stupid.
That would be dumbass shit.
Yeah, because
I know you guys like to mock it. This is serious shit.
Because here's the thing. If Warner Media loses the Domino's account as a major sponsor over this, there's going to be phone calls made. I can assure you. And things will have to change in AEW as a result. Because Warner's not going to play with that, because Warner itself is struggling for relevancy, and Warner is in the middle of a sale.
Mm-hmm. Or merger, yeah.
It's a sale.
Same shit.
Yeah. Where they're being essentially bought by HBO, and they're merging with HBO, and everything that's going with HBO is AEW's included in that. Now, they can get away with a little bit more of HBO, and they're going to have a little bit more, I feel like, leeway there because of that. But still, that hurts Warner's overall profile if they lose a major sponsor because of an incident on AEW.
Yeah, it's with Discovery. They already have HBO. It's with Discovery.
I'm sorry. I knew it was one of them. So no, then in that case, they're not going to have more leeway on Discovery. They're going to have less.
Yeah, Warner's trying to grab Discovery. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just need to be careful. I think blood is acceptable. I think overall the product normally is fine. It's acceptable. It's clearly not a problem, but maybe save the death matches for the pay-per-views. Don't put them on regular TV where you're going to have advertising mixed in, and this is going to happen. And that could just be a lesson learned for them, right? Like, they were trying to do something big. They were trying to have a big main event. They were trying to do something special. Totally respect it. It's fine, but clearly this is something that doesn't need to go on your regular TV show. This is something that should go on your pay-per-view. Because then, it's fine. You're not having those big sponsor advertisers running with your stuff. It's just you. And then you can kind of maybe show pictures of it on your TV show and make sure that the picture doesn't have a pizza cutter in it when the Domino's commercial plays.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like I said, it's a complete coincidence that it even happened to begin with. But yeah, hopefully, and I'm sure there were phone calls made today. I have little doubt somebody got a talking to. I don't know who in that company, but several somebodies probably got a talking to about this. There was at least an email about it.
I have received an email from the general manager, and I quote,
I'm sure it was like, y'all, come on now. Because the more of a problem on the flip side that they present, the less favorable terms they're going to get. And that could make having negotiating things like TV deals a little tricky. Because again, that was something else that WWE ran into when they were trying to negotiate their TV deals was, well, it's a little trashy. We can't have it on our network. That's not what you want to hear about your product. And there's a very, very fine line between edgy and trashy. And yeah, and if you're doing things like losing advertisers, that's going to kind of bump you over into the trash category. Just a little bit.
But you know what would clean up their image? Supporting the Wounded Warrior Project.
That's right. That'll certainly help. Good PR story for them. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, AEW will be teaming up with the Wounded Warrior Project from July 25th to August 2nd to help raise money for our veterans. We would love for the AEW community to donate to this awesome cause. Your gift, no matter how big or small, will help Wounded Warrior Project transform the way America's injured veterans are empowered, employed, and engaged in our communities. Let's make the transition back to civilian life for these warriors and their families an elite one.
I believe AEW is donating $100,000 to the cause.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. In addition to supporting the great cause, because there is a hook, any donation over $20 will be able to receive 2 tickets to our AEW Dynamite homecoming show in Jacksonville, Florida at Daly's Place on August 4th. And there's all kinds of disclaimers and legal language that goes with it. Please visit the AEW Twitter to see the official post. If you would like to donate or learn more about the Wounded Warrior Project, you can go to aewcommunity.com. So that's good. I mean, it's definitely positive.
They'd like to do a charity event based around Fight for a Fallen and now, I guess, Homecoming. So there you go.
It's a good thing.
Yep, yeah, it's their charitable contributions.
And well, that's not the only thing that made the news. There's some rumors swirling.
So we did some reckless speculation last week during the side boob. In case you missed it, that's why you always got to catch the side boob. This week you got the little Fortnite action in the side boob. More reckless speculation occurred last night on AEW Dynamite when they announced the second episode of Rampage, what we call The First Dance, in Chicago at the United Center. United Center, former home of the Bulls, famous for The Last Dance and stuff like that, the whole Michael Jordan thing, now doing The First Dance in Chicago, where people are speculating. After the announcement was made, the crowd started chanting for a person of Phil Brooks. That they'll be debuting for AEW on Friday, August 20th at Rampage, The First Dance in Chicago. Speculation is because they booked Chicago 2 weeks before they're supposed to be in the Chicago area for Dynamite and Rampage and a pay-per-view called All Out. So they booked another arena in the Chicago area. Wonder why.
I have to wonder about this, and I just want to say it. So the last time Mr. Brooks appeared for wrestling was what, 2010?
No, 14.
14? Okay. I'm trying to remember when he...
It's been 7 years.
Okay, so it's been 7 years since he fucked off. Why? And it's one of the most anticipated returns to professional wrestling. People have wanted it for 7 years, ever since he walked out. People have wanted him to go to Impact. They wanted him to go back to WWE. They wanted him to go to the Indies. And Mr. Brooks just did not want to go back to wrestling. He was burned out. He was tired. He was hurt. He wanted to rest. He wanted to go do something else. He went and did MMA. That didn't work out too well. So he's been kind of doing comics and he's been doing other things to sort of pass the time. He also got married to the love of his life, and they've been spending lots of wonderful time together, as they should be. So here's my question. It's the most anticipated return in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
One could argue second to like Edge coming back. It's one of the biggest returns of the year.
Could be game changer. Could be a game changer.
It could be huge. Why the fuck are you doing it at 10 o'clock on a Friday night? Why? And this is pure speculation, right? Pure 100% speculation that they're gonna do it on Rampage. Why? Why would you not do that on, like, say, Dynamite or on a pay-per-view? I don't understand, unless you're really just trying to launch. I have two theories. You're either just really trying to make Rampage special, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I personally feel like it's a little bit of a waste because it's going to be at 10 o'clock at night and you're basically going to have to put him on first thing. You don't save him till the end.
So it's going to be coming on right after SmackDown during SummerSlam weekend, so you have the what you think would be a huge audience thinking about wrestling.
So, I mean, it makes sense to do it, but it's like you could do it, and I know you want to do it in Chicago, which makes absolute sense. They should do it in Chicago, but it's like, why don't you wait for the show that you already have booked for Chicago to bring him out?
Because this was a last-minute booking.
Well, I know that, but the building was a last-minute booking.
Yes.
They've been talking to him for a while.
Yeah, they've been talking for a couple months. But
they've been flirting.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, but yeah, it's like, I just... So it's like, I have two theories. Either it's like I said, they're trying to make Rampage a thing, and that's completely fine. Or I have to wonder if they're questioning if he's going, what he's going to do in terms of pull for an audience. Like, I think they actually want to see what he's going to pull with a return.
If you actually say his name, he's going to appear on Rampage, you have to think over 1 million viewers, right?
Yeah.
Because going based on numbers, when AEW was not on a Wednesday night, they drew around 600,000. 649, I believe, was the highest mark for a Dynamite when it was moved. Either that was, I think, and that was on a Saturday night. I think they were in the mid fives for the Friday shows in the same time slot. And this is only a 1 hour slot. So they could get, and those Dynamites had NBA lead ins, so, or at least one of them did. So you get, this will test his value, because if you put it on Dynamite, you know what your fan base is, 1.1. And would have to grow from there. Now you gotta see how much Punk will draw. Is he only worth 200,000, 300,000? Is he worth 100,000? If they draw 500,000 fans on a Friday night, that's a bust with a Punk debut.
Well, the money is in the return. That's what everybody wants to see. Is everybody wants to see him come back and possibly that big first epic level promo that he's probably gonna drop, where he rips the shit out of WWE and everybody else in the business. Potentially, like, that's where the money is. You know, that's what everybody wants to see out of him. And then from there, it's, okay, what can he really do? What can he really draw? Is he as much of an attraction as what they think he is? Because let's not forget, they've brought in Christian. They've brought in Sting. They've brought in Big Show. They've brought in Mark Henry in the last 6 months.
Well, Mark Henry and Big Show don't count. They don't appear. No, they don't appear. Because, no. Mark Henry, I'll give you the spin on Mark Henry. Mark Henry's supposed to be on Rampage as the announcer. Continue.
Yes, but Big Show's been on the show.
Once.
So, anyway, they've brought in these people to try and move the needle, excluding Mark Henry because he hasn't been on the show. They have not moved the needle.
No.
At all. I mean, or I shouldn't say at all, but they have not moved the needle much. You had, and Sting was probably your biggest debut, and he did something for like a week or two, and then it dropped right back down.
Yeah, it was back to normal.
And so they're looking for, and Tony Khan's made no secret that he's wanted Punk from day one. And I think he has been making overtures to Punk from day one. But Punk has not been interested. Punk was under the Fox deal, so he couldn't entertain them. Now the Fox deal's presumably expired, so he's a free agent to be able to sign with AEW if he wants. I think the big question that everybody's wondering is, what is Punk? Is Punk still a draw? I'm sure he is. Like, I have little doubt in him. But, like, you just have to wonder, after 7 years, is all the money in the return? Or are people going to continue to be interested in him once he comes back and once they have him go into feuds with people? Because once you burn through, like, the dream matches for him, what's left?
So here's two things. One, the rating will be interesting. Two, how much is his value in terms of buy rate for his first match? People are excited for All Out. People are going to buy that show thinking he's going to be there, because if he's on Rampage, he should be on All Out. And that should be his first appearance, even though it would be a 2 week build and whatever. But you would have to think, okay, so if he's on that show, does he double their numbers? Because that's what you would think would be the case, right? You have this whole fan base interested to see him. You should double his event. It should double whatever they did the year before. It should be their highest grossing event of all time if he appears, if he's worth that value, you know?
I don't disagree with that.
So we'll have to see.
It will be interesting, but yes, they have booked an arena where they're supposed to be in Chicago, so we'll see what happens. There is no confirmation, by the way, that CM Punk has signed with AEW. None. Zero. Zip. He has screwed with people on Twitter and Instagram. He's having fun with it, but neither side has necessarily confirmed. They did do teases on Dynamite last night.
Many teases.
I would say that I think...
If you put all the pieces together, he's going to be there.
I will say I think it's a mistake putting him up against Darby Allin. I understand I'm not a booker, but Darby Allin is probably one of the hottest talents that they have. You've done a really good job in building him. You've done a really good job in making him. I think to have him work with Punk and have him lose to Punk, because Punk's not going to wait 7 years to come back and lose.
No, you don't beat him on the first match back.
That's just not going to happen.
He's not carrying Cross.
I just don't feel like that's the best idea. I feel like you could just, especially because it's going to be a 2-week thing, find him someone that's not Darby Allin and have them lose to him. But I'm not a booker. I don't know what their plan is, but that just, the rumor is supposedly it's going to be Darby, but I don't know.
We'll see.
I feel like it's a mistake to put Darby up against him right away. Like, you could tease something between the two of them, and you absolutely should build something between the two of them, but just don't do a 2-week build and have Darby lose, because that's going to hurt Darby more than it's going to help Punk, because he's already got the street cred coming in.
So what else is in the news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211?
All right, well, moving on to WWE. Here's some of your... Actually, you know what? No, before we move on to WWE, let's do the blame brands.
All right, we're going to do the injury right now. All right, let me move this to this, and we go this.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, Britt Baker has a broken wrist.
Hashtag blame Brent.
No word on if she'll be out, because she doesn't seem like she's going to be out. She's still doing both jobs with said wrist, so we'll see. Sorry, I took a bite of a cookie. Cash Wheeler has a nasty, nasty deep cut on his arm after last night's Dynamite.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He is going to be okay. There was a lot of worry about him, but he's going to be fine.
Yeah, he lost a lot of blood.
Yeah.
But good to know he's going to be okay.
He caught it on the ring post.
Yeah. And finally, Natty did something to her ankle. We don't know what, but she had to be helped to the back at Raw, and there's been no confirmation of what the injury is since.
So, ankle injury?
Hashtag blame Brent.
It's ankle, leg. Like, she confirmed on Twitter it's her ankle. She just didn't say what it is. She said, I'll give bones and ligaments. So, I'm guessing she tore something, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, she couldn't put any weight on it at all.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the coming days and weeks ahead, because she is one half of your WWE Women's Tag Team Champions.
Yep. So moving on to the WWE news, Titus O'Neil is getting a great honor thanks to the Hillsborough County's public school system. He is having a school named after him in recognition of his service to the county. They voted unanimously to add Thaddeus M. Bullard Academy to the Sling Middle Magnet School. So congratulations to him. That's so cool.
He's one of the good guys.
He's one of the best humans they have. So congratulations to him. Up next, speaking of charity, Alexa Bliss is announced for the Dave and Jimmy Summer Softball Classic in Columbus, Ohio. All the proceeds will go to benefit the Children's Mental Health Program at Nationwide Children's Hospital. No word if she's going in gimmick or bringing the doll or not.
I don't expect her to be in gimmick.
Wouldn't it be hilarious, though, if she is?
I don't think she should go with gimmick. It's just me.
She could just stand there and stare at people. It'd be awesome. Someone's daughter would like it. Anyway, moving on.
Just Tiffany move on.
Huh?
Just move on.
Tiffany Haddish has been announced to host the official SummerSlam after party on Saturday, 8/21 in Vegas. And to all of you people who say she should be on the pay-per-view, you need to learn how to read. She's not going to be hosting the pay-per-view. She's hosting the after party.
Which is raising money for charity.
So, you know, everybody that was screaming about it just needs to chill.
She'll be probably in the crowd going, hey. And then they'll have the after party and they're raising money for a charity. Okay, so
WWE, I need to have words with you. Why would you do this to me? Why? So, as people may or may not know, we were supposed to have an event here in August or September.
September 17th.
And they canceled it. And we all, at least for me and Rock, we thought, oh, the ticket draws must not have been good because they moved it to Knoxville. Well, we found out the real reason why they canceled the event in Atlanta is not because they want to do just a show here. No, they want to do a pay-per-view here, which is like, oh, okay, cool. We're getting a pay-per-view. Nice. Sweet. Except it's on New Year's Day.
Okay.
Who does that?
Here's why. There's an explanation behind this. So they were looking at they were putting together their calendar for 2022, and they were looking at all the dates available. And with the NFL moving to a longer schedule, there are going to probably be issues with scheduling and such going forward. What they're doing is they talked to the NFL about it, whether or not they're going to have games on New Year's Day. They were not. And I don't believe there's going to be much college football on New Year's Day as well. That really will be an issue for them. So they're going to take advantage of this opportunity and present a pay-per-view on a Saturday to test more of the waters for the Saturday pay-per-view. And they're going to do it on New Year's Day.
We're all going to be hungover.
Which means you'll be at home and available to watch Peacock.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. You better goddamn bring Bray Wyatt with you. Because if he's not here, I'm going to be very upset.
So, that is the reason. They looked at all the sports schedules and everything like that. Because I have a feeling we're going to get a couple more Saturday pay-per-views in 2022.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's fine.
And call me crazy. I think the Rumble's probably going to be on a Saturday as well.
Saturday's honestly a better day for them. Because I feel like, you know, it's like you have a day between the pay-per-view and Raw. And if they ever wanted to, I don't know, split shows between 2 days, which they've been want to do, they can do it because that gives them both Saturday and Sunday to do the show. Plus, you know, it gives the wrestlers time to rest in between the shows. It's just all around, I think, a better idea. Like, I don't mind the Sunday pay-per-views. It's been a thing for years. It's not bothersome, but if they want to go on a Saturday, they can go on a Saturday. It just impacts us because we're not going to be able to play Fortnite with friends on Saturdays because we're going to have to be doing review shows, but, you know, okay.
That's fine. But no, it's one of those that it... Especially with the Rumble is concerned, with the NFL schedule, there's either they're going to have to put the Rumble the first weekend of February, which they could do, or they may have to do it on a Saturday, because that's just the way it is at this stage.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I feel really bad for this man for more than one reason. I really hope this isn't his God-given name, because if it is...
It is.
How did you survive school, sir? How? How did your children survive school? Because, oh my god, you probably got picked on so much in school. So, Canyon Seaman...
Senior...
Yes, you heard that right.
Senior VP of Talent Development...
was let go by WWE this week. This isn't really a surprise to anybody. There was a rumor... back when the Trashgate stuff happened a while back, that he was going to get let go. And he was retained, at least for that time being. So they're probably in the process, or what they were doing was transitioning somebody else into the role, or at least getting something in place that stuff could keep moving in his absence. Because I think he was relieved of his duties, at least.
We assume. We don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't know for sure, but... yeah, so he has been officially let go by the company. There is no announcement on his replacement as of yet. But again, they're doing more clearing house in terms of, I think, just culture. Like, I don't think it's budget cuts. I think at this point it's a culture thing, and they are actively addressing culture issues within WWE as a whole. Mm-hmm. And they are getting those people out, just based on what we're all seeing.
People haven't had the best experience with him, so...
Yeah. And especially in something like talent, and talent being mishandled and mistreated, that's not acceptable on any level, and they are addressing it very, very publicly, which I think is a relief to everybody to see.
Mm-hmm.
That when you have people in position and they're not doing their jobs correctly or properly, or they're abusing their position or their authority, you want to see those people get let go. I don't mean that like in a mean way, like, you know, I don't want to wish anybody to lose their job because it sucks, but it's when you're not being effective and you're abusing the talent who move the product forward, then somebody else needs to be in that place, not you. So there you go. Speaking of talent, Jeff Hardy has unfortunately tested positive for COVID-19. He will be confined for 2 weeks. That's why he was not on Raw this past week. So hopefully he feels better and he doesn't have any long-lasting impacts. And last but certainly not least for the news, because it's been a long news segment, Blumhouse Television is partnering with WWE to develop a limited series based on Vince McMahon's steroid trial from the mid-90s, and it is titled The United States of America versus Vince McMahon. I want to see this when this comes out. I also want to know who they're going to get to play Vince.
Yeah.
I need to know, like, who's going to play Vince. Who's going to, you know, who's going to do the thing. Who they're going to get to play, like, all the wrestlers. Like, I just need to know all the things. I need all the details on this, because this will probably be insane and awesome and put it on Netflix.
They have a Netflix show, too, with him coming.
Yeah, they do. And I can't wait to see that. That'll be fun.
All right, so that's the news.
So NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
I'm gonna say it before we get into the recap. This felt like a really taped show.
That's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. You just had the feel of a taped show. Anyway, it opened up with Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa taking on Pete Dunne and Oli Lorcan.
Great match.
Reach Holland made his return.
Glad to see his legs better.
Mm-hmm. He attacked Thatcher in the match, allowing Dunne to pin Ciampa with the bitter end.
So, and then we had them beat up Tommaso Ciampa post-match. And yeah, so we're seeing a faction being formed with Rich Holland, Pete Dunne, and Oni Lorcan.
Yeah, he was supposed to be in the faction before, and then he got hurt, so.
Yeah, so we're just picking right back up where we left off.
He has to fill in for Danny Burch, who's hurt, so there you go.
There you go. There it is. But yeah, this was good. This was solid. I was here for it.
Samoa Joe came to the ring.
Okay, wait, no. Joe, we need to have a conversation about your shirt, sir. You do not need to be walking around in something that says provoke me, because you don't know what you're asking for. Them fangirls of yours, they're thirsty. They're thirstier than Indy Hartwell. Like, you're just asking for a world of trouble with that.
So Samoa Joe came to the ring. He tossed a table and a chair into the ring. He set it up. Time for a meeting. He called out Karrion Kross for being a coward. He said he was being proactive and asking when to join him in the ring as well. So William Regal comes out. No music, no fanfare. He just comes out. Joe goes, I know what you're about to do, Mr. Regal. You're going to fire Karrion Kross. But I have a better plan, better solution. So he opens this folder that he brought to the ring with him. He took out the first piece. It's a three-step plan. Every plan always needs multiple steps. Step number one, I'm going to sign this piece of paper right here and give you my resignation from NXT management. Regal was reluctant for a moment, but signed the paper. Paper number two, this contract will reinstate me as a part of the NXT roster. Regal thought about it, signed it.
Like you do.
And then there is one, we mentioned it's a three-part plan, three stages. Here's a third paper. For a match with Karrion Kross for the NXT Championship at NXT TakeOver 36. Regal looks at it, signs it, Joe picks them all up, puts them in the thing, walks away, bing, bam, boom, we done.
Simple, effective, to the point. I like it. I'm here for all of it. Smojo's back, y'all. He's back in a big way. And I'm here for it.
So earlier today, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight were on the golf course.
Oh my god, this is classic.
Cameron Grimes was washing LA Knight's balls. Golf balls.
Golf balls in the ball washer.
Cameron is asked for the driver from LA Knight, but I thought you have someone who drives your cars, and keeps asking different clubs, and Cameron had no idea what he was talking about.
Okay, first, before we go on, can we just talk about the outfit?
Go ahead.
Where he's walking around in the cowboy tube boots, these tight little green shorts. He was actually very well dressed. A nice little, like, shirt. And then he had the little, I don't know what it's called in golf, but it's the little, like, golf beret thing with the poof on top.
Okay.
And it, like, it's all cockeyed and shit on his head. This was just, I loved everything about this. Anyway, go on.
Later on in the show, we saw them back at the golf course. LA and I was still trying to hit his balls, and Grimes was still, you know, started making bets with them throughout the, I think there was a point where they were making bets throughout the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, as they continue on through the night, LA and I hit the ball in the lake. He told Cameron to go after the ball. Cameron takes off his cowboy boots and big ass socks are still on. He goes into the water and gets the ball. And then out of nowhere, Ted DiBiase shows up. He says, "You're better than this. You're better than this." Show me, like, Cameron, and Cameron's like, "I'm just being a man of my word." He's like, "You need to step up and fight for what you believe in." So keep that in mind. So we continue on in the night. At this point, the grizzled young veterans show up. They confront LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, and LA Knight's still pissed off at the world. Then he makes a bet with the grizzled young veterans over golf swings.
Okay, can we talk about how they just roll up in a golf cart and matching attire with the scarf that says grizzled young veterans on top?
That was great.
Like, across the windshield. I want to point out that these four idiots got paid to do this. Anyway, go on.
So LA Knight sinks his ball in the back of the lake. It's Cameron's turn, and he goes back with the club. in slow motion. Thank you, camera crew, to hit LA Knight in the balls.
With the driver, by the way.
With the driver. With the driver. And then one more time, boinked him in the head with the, on the swing.
On the backswing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, in slow motion. And LA Knight, and Cameron's all, I got a hold of one. I was so excited. Oh my God, LA Knight, what happened? What happened? They attacked you. They attacked you. And LA Knight's chasing him off as the grizzled young veterans drive off.
And they're like, oh crap. No, not us. Not us. And they drive away. Best part of this was, like, Cameron whips out this gold, like, this 24-karat gold or whatever golf ball out of his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits the hole-in-one. And, yeah, it's like, you can tell exactly where this is going when he, like, tees up. You're like, yep, LA Knights have got about to get smacked with a golf club. And bada-bing, bada-bang, bada-boom. 1-2-3 punch, knockout, and there you go. Like, this was... I love this so much. It's so stupid. Like, you should just hate the shit out of this, but you can't. Because Cameron just owns it. And so does LA Knight. Like, they're just doing a wonderful job with this. It's so good. Because it's not serious. Like, it's nice and refreshing and funny. Like, the first one where he went to cut the grass, that was a little iffy. But, like, this one was better. And best of all, they set up a little feud with it, which I liked.
So the breakout tournament continues on. It's Josh Briggs versus Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes got the win. But the big story in this matchup was Duke Hudson was at ringside on commentary. And boy, oh boy, did Vic want to let you know that Duke Hudson, yes, Duke Hudson, part of the NXT breakout tournament, yes, that Duke Hudson from Australia, it's Duke Hudson, was at the table. He said his name so many times.
You just got to point it out that Duke Hudson's there.
Duke Hudson. Duke Hudson.
Duke Hudson, ladies and gentlemen.
It is Duke Hudson versus Carmelo Hayes in the next round of the tournament. Duke Hudson. Mackenzie Mitchell was backstage with Frankie Monet and talked about her association with the Robertson brand. And, you know, she's, you know, we'll see if they have more success. And she's even teaming with Jesse to go after the tag titles. And Casey and Kaden come up. They know how to finish each other's sentences and they talk some trash. And it sets up their matchup on the show. Which Casey Castanero and Kaden Carter got the win. Robert Stone tried to interfere, and you know, when you're aligned with Robert Stone, things don't go your way. And Frankie suffered her first loss in NXT.
Yeah, which she was less than pleased about.
She was not happy. She was not happy. There was also a bit backstage where we saw Mandy Rose with who's the orange hair girl.
I'm
trying to remember her name off the top of my head, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
But yeah, they were backstage chit-chatting.
Mm-hmm. Gigi Dolan and JC Jane were backstage. That's who it was. They were the ones talking together, so see what Mandy's up to. Speaking of the women, Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez came to the ring. She talked about how she's crushed the women's division. The division, she's taking out all the feared wrestlers. She's beating them all. She wonders who's next, and she goes in Spanish. She says, keep them coming. Dakota's like, come on, where are the people? She's this person to be more people than Charlotte Flair, Asuka, Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler, and other. She said she's the NXT Women's Division is the greatest because of one woman. She said that TakeOver is a few weeks away, and who is woman enough to challenge Raquel? Like, come on, who's coming out? Who's coming out? She's posing with the belt. There's no one coming. As Raquel poses on the top turnbuckle, she comes down, boom. Hell of a kick.
The knee heard round the world.
A hell of a kick. Laying out Raquel Gonzalez from Dakota Kai.
Dakota Kai. And her betrayal shorts. Like, I'm just going to start calling those baggy, like, ripped up black shorts she has the betrayal shorts. Because she either wears them, like, right before, right after, or during.
Well, you know.
I mean, no, to be fair, they looked ultra comfortable. So, yeah, go off, girl. But, yeah. Betrayal shorts.
So we finally saw Shawn Michaels turn on Diesel. Looks like we got our takeover match now, doesn't it?
I'm here for it. Brent's here for it.
We're all here for it.
I mean, if he can get over the hypothetical.
I mean, you know, it's always a hypothetical with him. Hit Pro took on Imperium. Imperium got the win after some distraction and interference from Santos Group.
You can play that game. That's all I'm saying.
Indy, Johnny, and Candace were backstage bickering. Like, where's Austin? No one knows. And then we got a gift delivered for Indy and some character paintings. And basically it leads to a match where it's Gargano versus Loomis, where if Gargano wins and Loomis will have to stop going after Indy to love her or leave her match.
So let me just set this up. So they're backstage, they're arguing, they're bickering, they're trying to figure out where Austin is, and Indy has a present. And she's like, oh my god, did you guys get me something? And Candace is like, I didn't get her anything. And Johnny's like, I didn't get her anything. And she opens up, it's a painting of that Dexter has done of Indy and him and Johnny and Candace, with him being a part of the family. And Johnny and Candace are like, oh hell no, 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 he will never be part of this family. And then Indy's like, you never even gave him a chance. Like, you never even tried to like him. You just hated him from day one. And they're like, he's a psycho. And Indy's like, you should give him a chance. You should, like, you know, you should try. And they're like, okay, fine. How would you like us to try? And she's like, a match. If he wins, you have to give him a chance. If Johnny wins, and then they're like, well, if Johnny wins, then, you know, you never see him again. And she's like, okay, fine. I'm going to go talk to Mr. Regal. And then they're like, knock on his door. He likes that. Don't touch his pencils. And then Johnny's like, I got this. And Candy's like, yeah, you got this. We're going to put an end to this once and for all. Very, very good stuff. I like this a lot.
Then your main event, Adam Cole and the Colossal Bronson Reed. Adam Cole picks up the W, but that's not the story. After the match, Kyle showed up and just wanted to basically murder Adam Cole. Bye-bye.
Again, not for the first time.
Not for the first time. Yeah.
Won't be the last time either, but yeah, I like how they're continuing this on and they continue to kind of like flirt with each other.
Yeah, so that was NXT.
I thought this was a good show. I know you said it felt taped, but I thought this was good. It was entertaining.
It felt taped because of the way they cut the things.
Mm-hmm.
Like the in-ring didn't feel taped. It was all the packages felt very...
Yeah, I could see that.
Taped, and it didn't have the flow. It just sort of was like, it was hard cuts. It wasn't like their transition normally.
Yeah, I can respect that. But I think we're done with this part of the show, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to do Tweet of the Week, and then we're going to be talking a little bit about the Activision Blizzard stuff that's going on and how that could impact everything. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight as Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Thank you.
BattletalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, BattletalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is use the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. Really is that simple. Also, if you want to follow the channel, you can follow the channel there. Or if you want to hang out and chat, or if you're listening on the podcast /VOD, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. And hope you're enjoying the show. And with that, I say Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Courage JD.
No, to get it right. Courage JD.
Does he still do it like that?
Everyone calls him that.
Okay. Play Apex. Daily reminder that the 3030 repeater is mistakenly still in the game for how absolutely shit tier the weapon is. Reminds me of Season 1 Mozambique. Looking forward to seeing it removed. XOXO. Dr. Lupo. Literally just hit your shots, kid.
Okay.
He chose chaos. Charlotte Flair, cheat day, and she's showing a picture of herself at the gym, looking all ripped and shit. Lance Storm responds, "You're a Flair. Isn't every day cheat day?"
Woo!
And that's all I have.
Brent, I think Brent's listening. Maybe. We'll get
is Brent, Brent, are you here?
Brent, are you here? Type 1 in chat if you're here. Conan O'Brien. Sure, streaming subscriptions are just as expensive as cable, but you also get to remember 18 different passwords. True. Oh, he is here. Cool.
Yay!
Fake John Madden. Breaking. Big 12 to pursue adding Dallas Cowboys to the conference to fill a void of Texas-based team that underachieves every season.
You had to just stick it in.
I did. Jessica C. Matana. The Uber driver who picked me up from the Miami airport today went on an unprompted 15-minute rant about taxpayer funding of Marlins Park. Also said attendance bad. I told him I heard the food sucked too. Very good of contributing to the discussion. Andy Herman. RIP Aaron Rodgers will never play for the Packers again news. Official time of death, 11:50 a.m. April 29, 2021 to July 26, 2021. Aaron Rodgers will never play for the Packers again. News is survived by his closest family members. Fire Gukinist? Something like that. And Blake Bortles' Packers career, because they released Blake Bortles too. Bronson Reed. Damn. Cole got me. I beat Jeff Hardy though. Lance Storm. Stu Bennett has the best voice. Shit just sounds more important when he says it. Lindsay, I need to know if this part's true.
Hmm.
Gail Kim, it's that British accent. It makes everything better.
Who's this for?
Wade Barrett.
Yes. The suits help too.
WWNX tweeted, What's your favorite Triple H point photo of all time? Dakota Kai. It hasn't happened yet. Joe Pro Wrestling, WWE briefing the media today. They have no interest in CM Punk. In unrelated news, I give my word to Ben Affleck that I will not be making my move on JLo. Good to know. MJF, fuck Nick Gage. Shark Boy, I dare you to say that to his pizza cutter. Shark Boy, for the record, I pitched Pizza Cutter as a finish 10 years ago and Dirty Dutch Mantel laughed me out of the office. Well, who's laughing now, Dutch? Well.
I think Dutch still is based on what happened today.
Yeah.
It had a good 2-week run.
It did. It kind of did. Dutch replied, furthermore, I don't remember any Pizza Cutter idea. If I had, I'd given you the big push to the freaking airport with a one-way ticket. That's a whale of a story, Sharky Boy. Stop flattering around and catfishing everyone. And finally, this is
fish puns.
This tweet, like last week or a couple weeks ago, we had an audio tweet.
Mm-hmm.
This tweet was presented from WWE on Fox. It is a clip from SmackDown, the greatest clip of all time. Ready?
Ready.
Boo!
The best part of that whole clip is how he hits the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually nails the beginning of it. It's like, okay, all right, we see you, Heyman. We see you.
And I have the original, the first time he did this was back in 2014.
Yeah.
That's the original one, and he brought it back 7 years later.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Consistency.
And the best part about it all is, one, he nails it. Two, he's walking away doing it, too.
Yep.
In all
his sooty glory.
In all his glory. Oh, so, this is a late introduction to Tweet of the Week. WWE tweeted, WWE Rollins fell victim to thunderous F5 courtesy of Brock Lesnar 2 years ago today. Seth Rollins, I miss Brock.
Well, I imagine Brock was easier to deal with than Roman is. Just a tad.
Just a tad. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
All right, so now we're going to get serious. We're going to talk, well, I mean, probably not really serious, but we're going to talk all about the Activision Blizzard lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not familiar with this, this is part of a 2-year investigation done by the state of California where they have filed a lawsuit against Activision Blizzard, who produces titles like World of Warcraft, COD, Candy Crush. You know, those are some of their bigger titles. For, let me get the charges right, I had to Google them up. The charges include allegations over gender discrimination, sexual harassment, and potential violations of the state's equal pay law. Since that time, multiple, and I mean multiple, it's in the hundreds, of ex-Blizzard Activision employees, especially women, have come forward confirming the charges, basically talking about the work culture at Blizzard, which is described as frat boy, where they would have desk crawls, where they would crawl up under women's desks if they were and try to look, basically see if they could see anything. Women were held back, held down, especially women of color. They were discriminated against. They had a suite called the Cosby Suite at one point. I don't think they have it anymore, but yeah, basically where, you know, they would go threaten to do things or bro it up or whatever you have you. It's just overall a really damning, lawsuit against the company. It looks terrible. And if that's not bad enough, Rob Kostick just dug the hole deeper by, basically putting out a tone deaf response by saying that there was no basis of the allegations, and pretty much everybody came out and was like, oh, F you. The employees have now mobilized against Activision, like they've turned on the company, or I should say they've turned on the company leaders. They signed a petition, which was signed in part by employees at Ubisoft in solidarity, basically saying, this is our company, and you don't represent our company. You no longer represent our voice. And then they staged a walkout.
They did.
Which was yesterday, which was very successful. There's pictures of them out in front of the building. And in response, Blizzard has hired like a union-busting group to basically stop the workers or try to stop the workers from mobilizing. And they're just too late. Like, the workers have already mobilized.
There's the whole lawsuit's out on the internet. It's very damning when you read it.
It's really, really horrible when you see all the stories coming out and you see people talk about it, particularly the marginalization, the sexual harassment, like how women who were pregnant were actually denied raises, denied promotions. I think in one case a woman was fired, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I mean, there's all kinds of really horrible, damning stuff out there for them. And what's worse is it's over like a 10-year period.
Well, longer than that.
Longer than that. Pretty much since the company's inception, the company's only about 20% women. It's 80% male. And yeah, overall, it's just not a good time. Like, and everybody's like, it sucks because it's a really great company to work for. They're just really shitty about their workplace culture. And it's just, one woman did allegedly take her own life because she had an affair with her boss. And then I think her boss, like, refuted her on a work trip because it was on a work retreat that she did it.
So I'm going to put out an example of the culture of Lizard. And this is not based around an employee. This comes from a streamer. Her name is Hafu.
This is awful.
This is awful. In 2008, there was literally a World of Warcraft team named Gonna Rape Hafu at regionals that qualified for BlizzCon regionals.
She was 17.
She goes, no, I'm not surprised at the news. I was 17 years old at the time and already qualified for regionals myself.
It's very damning. And this is going to have long-lasting impacts on not only the gaming industry, but I think the tech industry and possibly really business as a whole. Because this has made several other companies in the industry sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
Someone like Ubisoft and a few of the others are kind of like, oh crap. Because this isn't just an employee that has filed the complaint. This is the state. The state of California did a 2-year investigation on Activision Blizzard and was like, came in swinging, like, here's what we have. And we know you're guilty of it. What the question is what the repercussions of this are going to be. Rob Kotick is more than just fucked. He's fired. He's going to be lucky if he has a pot to piss in when this is over. Because not only is he going to have to worry about the state of California's lawsuit, then he's going to have to worry about all the lawsuits from all the employees that have been impacted. Because I promise you there's going to be a class action lawsuit against him and the company and everybody else involved. Like, I have little doubt that the result of this will be that all the higher-ups are fired. And that will just be the start of it. If the company survives this.
So, we've been talking for weeks now about the change of culture in WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a change of culture at Activision Blizzard and in that whole community in general.
Yes, I would agree with that. Because overall, the gaming industry is very male-dominated. And there's not anything wrong with that, but it's like, it's becoming more and more inclusive to female gamers, to gamers of color, to transgender, to LGBTQ, to everybody. Not to say that they weren't there before, because they absolutely were 100% there before. But it's becoming overall a more inclusive environment for everybody, especially as gaming houses are taking everyone into account. And you're seeing more representation in games. And you can't be putting representation in games and then have a culture like this. Because basically, it's just you're shooting yourself in the foot with that. Because it's like, you can have the most inclusive game in the world, but if you don't put your money where your mouth is and believe it, then it's just a farce. You're just doing it basically to please the crowd and make money. You're not actually trying to represent the people in your game that are there, which is not cool. It's not cool at all. So, but yeah, I'm really interested to see what the repercussions of this are going to be. Like I was saying, because you will see people get fired for this. You will see people get sued for this. And my whole question is will Activision survive? I don't know if it will. But this now basically sets a precedent for the state of California to come into any company and investigate and find this stuff and basically be like, hey, yo, what's up? What are you going to do about this? Because all of this got started probably because the state was getting complaints. That's how this kind of thing starts. So it's not even like they didn't know about it, or they, you know, the state of California just woke up one day and was like, oh, hey, let's go investigate Activision because I'm sure there's shit going on there. No. How this stuff gets started is they see a series of complaints or they see a series of problems coming out of a company. And when they get enough allegations, it's kind of like, okay, there's a really serious problem here. We need to go in and look at the company as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they found.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I hope it sends a message. Like, you hate it for everybody that works for Activision because it's like the potential is the company could get shut down. It could get sold. At the very least, it's going to have a radical shift in culture. It's going to have a radical shift in management. But I hope other companies, especially in the gaming and tech industry, set up and take notice. I hope they see this. I hope they see that the bro culture is not going to be tolerated. And I hope they make changes. Because, like I just said, this sets the precedent that if you're doing this shit, it's not going to be tolerated anymore. End of discussion. End of story. You shouldn't be doing it to begin with. But if you are, you need to, like, not anymore. And you need to do those shifts. Because here's the question. If they were investigating Blizzard, who else are they looking at? And this also, I think, sets a precedent for other states to go and investigate other businesses, other gaming houses in the U.S. if they're not in California.
I'm going to say this right now. If you're a gaming org, clean your shit up.
Yeah, get on it, like yesterday. Because if you continue to do this after this, you have nobody but yourself to blame. You really don't, because this will also, the flip side to this is, I hope this empowers employees to come forward about workplace harassment, workplace mistreatment. Like, if your company is doing something that is not right, you should absolutely report it. Absolutely. 100% report it. It will be weird and it will be uncomfortable, but companies should be held accountable for their actions, for their policies, especially if they're not following those policies. And they should be held accountable if they're not following the letter of the law when it comes to employment. Nobody has the right to come in and play grab ass with you. Nobody has the right to come in and marginalize you. Nobody has the right to make you feel lesser, or you've done less work, or you've done inadequate work simply because of your race, creed, gender, all the things. Nobody has that right to do that to you, period. And if they are, report them. And if reporting them to the HR department doesn't work, because that was happening in Activision and basically people were getting ignored, go to the state. Report it to the state. And if they threaten to fire you, report that to the state, because that's retaliation. And they absolutely cannot retaliate against you for something that they did. Like, even if you're reporting it to HR, you can say, I'm reporting this person, but I want to stay anonymous because I worry about retaliation. I worry that they're going to punish me, or they're going to do something to me because I'm speaking up, because I'm saying something, because that's how this all happens, right? Is like, in the case of, a lot of it was management, and management were abusing their positions, is they were threatening people. They were threatening to fire them. They were threatening to cut their pay. They were threatening to do all kinds of things to them professionally. Well, you know, especially in your professional career, your references are everything, right? You work for a company, you leave, you go to your next job, and you have to present, in some cases, references of, hey, yeah, I'm a good worker. You know, I did a good job at my old company. Please hire me, kind of thing. And, you know, they can withhold that, or they can say, you know, if, because your company's, or your next employer can call your previous company, and they might have been telling the next company, hey, yeah, no, they're shit, don't hire them. They can't do that. I'm not saying they did, by the way. I'm just saying that that's a retaliatory action. But that's how they were keeping people quiet, was they were threatening retaliation. And HR was in on it, which they're not supposed to do. Legally, they cannot do that. So if you're afraid of that, you can tell HR, you can tell the state, I am actively afraid that my employer is going to retaliate against me for reporting them. Sorry. Because then it's documented that you said it. So if they do it, it's on file. It's in the report that you were concerned about the retaliation. And then they have the proof of it.
Basically, speak up, protect yourself, do whatever you can.
Yeah. Clean your shit up.
Mm-hmm. Make sure everyone's accountable.
But yeah, this is just, I mean, overall, this is just insanity that you just, because it's like the story broke.
Was it Monday?
It was Monday. And in the process of, I think, 4 days, it has just gone to hell and it's gotten so much worse. I would ask also, and I know this is a big ask, people did it yesterday, but I think overall, don't support Activision's products. I know they have WoW. I know they have COD. Don't support them. Don't give them the screen time right now. It doesn't necessarily help the cause of the people that are trying to make change in that company. I mean, although I think it's going to help happen regardless.
I mean, COD's full of cheaters. Anyhow, why play the game?
Right? Like, COD, from what I understand, is terrible. But yeah, don't support the titles. Like, play whatever you want to play. I'm not saying you don't have to play it, or you shouldn't, but I'm saying that, you know, just don't give them screen time. Don't support it. Don't give them money. Don't do any of that right now till they get it worked out. If you want. Basically, cancel them. This is where we can use cancel culture for good.
Yeah.
We can stop bad people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use the power. Be the power. I don't know. Anyway, that's all I have to say on the subject. Like, it was just, it's just this huge clusterfuck of a story that broke, and you just, the more you hear about it, and the more you see, you're just like, oh my God. Because, like, just some of the complaints in the lawsuit are just horrific. And then you see more and more of, like, people coming forward with stories about Activision. And then you hear things like about a Cosby sleet and about that poor girl who took her own life. And, you know, how much, basically, how many bosses were sleeping with their employees and stuff like that. You're like, how did this happen? How did they get away with it for, like, 10 or 15 years and not get caught?
Power and authority.
Power and authority, man. It's a dangerous thing. But with that, I say we're done. So you got plugs, so plug away.
Available now. The Rack Extra Reviews WWE Roll of Ring. Buy the book. It's available now. Check out the podcast as well. Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of Super Radio will be episode 699. We're on the road to 700. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio returns 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Rob Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You can use... Wait, before I get to that one. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can use creator code Rock and Sock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Ding.
Ding. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So, he's Rock. I'm Lindsay. Everybody, thank you so much. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.